Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Utah's farms, rural landscapes, and deserts dominate LeConte Stewart's prodigious career. But during the Great Depression, his paintings portray loss and isolation as well. Joining me now to talk about Stewart's Depression-era art, as well as his memorable landscapes and his rural depictions, as well as his legacy, is Donna Poulton. She is curator of Art of Utah and the West at the Utah Museum of Fine Art. And Donna Poulton, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Also, Robert Davis. He is curator of the LDS Church History Museum. And Robert Davis, thanks so much for you. To you.
Thank you.
You can join our conversation if you have questions or comments about LeConte Stewart's art, his worldview. Give us a call, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Donna Poulton, I guess I'll start with you. Why are we talking about LeConte Stewart? And you've rolled out this huge, the largest exhibition of his work. Why are we talking about him now?
Well, the impulse for the exhibition actually started about 3 years ago when the UMFA received a large bequest, about 35 paintings from Kent Day's Trust. And I started looking through the images, and a lot of the work that he gave to the UMFA was Depression-era work. And it just seemed very exciting to me, very fresh. I hadn't seen a lot of the work. I knew that there hadn't been a major exhibition, at least it was, I think, 1985, the last time there was a major exhibition. And we also had other work in the collection, so I began to think that this was that's something that should be told. It was the start of the recession in Utah, and kind of coupled with that, I thought maybe this is a story that we could tell. The other thing is, the important thing also, is that LeConte Stewart was a professor at the University of Utah for 18 years, from 1936 to 1958, so that's significant. And it was also the anniversary of his 120-year birthday. So there was a combination of things that came together.
Robert Davis, LeConte Stewart was born in Glenwood, of a very small town in southern Utah, in 1891. He studied art at the University of Utah before traveling east to continue those studies. Who were his artistic influences?
Early on, he was attracted to the work of George Innes, and he found out about some landscape schools back east, very popular turn-of-the-century artists like Burge Harrison and John F. Carlson. And he responded to an ad to go back and study at the Art Students League Summer School in Woodstock, New York. But later on, he studied with a notable American Impressionist in Pennsylvania.
Would you describe him as an Impressionist?
Yes, I would. I think that's the most fundamental part of his work, also tonalism and realism. But, in fact, all of his paintings mix styles. I think the common element is Impressionism, that he called the greatest discovery or invention in art of all time.
He was prolific. I understand he painted something like 7,000 works. You are showing 200 at a joint exhibition at the Church History Museum as well as the Utah Museum of Fine Art. Talk about just the sheer volume, Donna Poulton. Yeah. That to me is just, I don't know if it's a factor because he had such a long life or he was just cracking on it, you know, all the time, could not paint.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It was a combination. He lived to be 99. He was born in 1891 and died in 1990. So he had a 99-year career or lifespan. And he started painting and sketching early on when he was young, maybe 10 or so in school. And, of course, we don't necessarily count those as paintings. But I think Robert will agree with me that when we talk about 7,000 works, these are sketches, preparatory paintings, all the kinds of things he did to prepare for a painting. So there was a lot of work. And in fact, at the UMFA, we have one wall where we have three of the preparation works for a major painting. So the sketch, a blocked-in work, an oil sketch, and then finally the major work. So that's four, but it was all in preparation for one major work. So he, and also I think Robert can speak more to this, but he painted every day. He loved being outside, so you could find him sketching at the side of the road or sketching with students outside. He didn't like to work in the studio. He never worked from a photograph. And so when you talk about the 7,000, there's a lot to that.
Robert Davis.
That's true. And he was always productive, let's say. He taught high school. Most high school art teachers go home and with the stress of the day. But Lacan always would go up to the valleys just about every day when he was teaching high school in Ogden between 1923 and 38. And he would do usually one large painting, although he generally worked from later in the fall to early spring, and he didn't like to paint in summer very often. But a lot of his work was done in his last 20 or 30 years, and I'm certain there are, you know, tens of thousands of works. Many of them are very small, and his strongest period is between the two world wars. He didn't paint very much during World War II when his sons were in the service, but his very finest works, the works that we're showing in our two exhibitions, were done during this time period.
We're speaking with Robert Davis, curator of the LDS Church History Museum. Also with us, Donna Poulton, curator of Art of Utah and the West at the Utah Museum of Fine Art. And we're talking about LeConte Stewart. 801-355-TALK if you have questions or comments about his work. I want to play a clip from a film that was produced by the filmmaker Claudia Sizemore in 1977, showing LeConte Stewart at work. It's a great film. It's available on the on your exhibit website. We'll have a link on our website, kcpw.org. Here he is describing his process. Let's take a listen, and I'll get your reaction after.
I've been going out in the car quite a bit the last few years, and I just drive along till I see something that impresses me, and it usually does quickly. And then I stop almost immediately and have a look at it. I can't tell why it does impress me always, although I believe color is a big factor. I'm sensitive to color relationships. I think many people have the idea that those who are not initiated, that your artist goes out somewhere and finds something, sits down and paints it. Well, that's true to an extent. But first of all, the subject must have possibilities for a painting, and they are largely based upon composition and good design, which is the disposition of its dark and light areas, and the relationship that they bear to each other, a large area, other sizes, middle-sized areas, and smaller ones. And then, if he can make something out of the subject, even on the spot, he may have to make changes and alterations. But then when he comes indoors, although his sketch expresses the feeling of light and air and possibly the mood of the day, the need of putting that into an organized composition is very apparent in his sketch, so he starts working on it.
That's the artist LeConte Stewart in a 1977 interview. Donna Poulton, what do you hear in his voice? He's talking about color, but it's almost like this bolt of lightning. He sees something, and that's the image that he's going to pursue.
Yeah. You know, when I listen to that, I'm constantly reminded that he's speaking from a position of being a teacher. He loved teaching. He loved his students. Even in his late 80s and 90s, he was taking artists like Marjorie McClure and Connie Borup out to paint with him. And they would have to show up at a certain time. It would have to be the early morning. And they would drive and drive and drive until they could find a spot. And they told me that they couldn't quite see what he was looking at until he got out and he said, "This is it. This is where we're going to paint today." And then they would slowly, composition would emerge in the landscape, and they understood what he was doing. So I see it always as a position of teaching, which he really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Robert Davis?
Oh, yes. I think the aesthetic was emphasized in LeConte Stewart's comments. There are other factors, too, that are very, very important. He would drive through the countryside, and he would stop when struck by something. It would affect him emotionally. And then he would look at it, like he said, figure out the possibilities. But it was a matter of the aesthetic organization, also how he felt about things. It was generally during the outer landscape, the rural Utah aspect. He's very, very positive about it. In the American scene pieces or the cityscapes, he was actually making a social comment frequently. But also there's the how you capture the essence of the place, the weather effect. So it's the mood and the feeling and the organization. And those are three very strong components in his art.
The part of the exhibit that is at the LDS Church History Museum is titled LeConte Stewart, The Soul of Rural Utah. What do these paintings reveal about the state's, you know, remote rural places?
Well, it's a certain kind of habitation. There are indigenous things here in Utah where we have motifs like poplar trees, irrigation ditches. The barns are certain ways. They use fence posts out of juniper strung with barbed wire. But they're usually situated on the east benches or facing east, and then to utilize the water coming out of the mountains. Anyway, there's just you can recognize many different aspects of this landscape, and then he carried over into his art. And so what his art does, it helps us to see it more clearly and vice versa. Then you start looking at the landscape and able to understand his work. We use the title, The Soul of Rural Utah. So it has a character and a meaning, and everything is equal to him, nature, the way man has settled it. But also, I think that soul also refers to LeConte Stewart himself. And maybe even us as we look at the pieces.
Donna Poulton, Robert mentioned social commentary in some of the more urban landscapes that we see. And the part of the exhibit that you focus on is his work during the Great Depression. How did the Depression affect him? And how are those experiences and emotions depicted in his work?
The Great Depression, I think, affected him in the way it affected others. He actually had a job teaching high school during the Depression, and he supplemented his income doing lettering, making billboards, and things like that. So even while life was tough, and I'm sure they were saving money and being economical, I think it was more what was happening to his neighbors that affected him deeply. And we have to remember that the Deep Recession started in Utah in the early 20s. It was after World War II that farmers couldn't sell their commodities, and so farm foreclosures started early in the early 20s. And so he started to see it early on. And so you have paintings with titles like Private Car or Home Loan or The New Deal or things like that, where he's really showing old factories, old homes that have been boarded up, showing that he has a real empathy for the people that he lived around.
And I understand that he had a bit of pushback on that.
He did. From what I understand, he was doing this social realism work, and I don't think he had such an agenda. He was painting what was happening to the people. I think he just, the social realism came out as something that looked subversive to the people, to the hierarchy of the high school that he was teaching at, and so they threatened to fire him, and there was a big there was a lot of talk about it, but he ended up not being fired. And at that point, though, I think he turned to the university, and I think that job came along just at the right time.
Robert Davis, mm-hmm. Just very quickly. This is over 20 years since his death. How is his work holding up? And perceptions of it changing?
Yes. Often they look at the large picture. We've concentrated on, I call it his masterpiece period, before World War II. But we have a strong local collectors, and often the top works stay in the same collection. He's not known that much, but the market value of his work is very, very high here in Utah, but less so out of the state. But I think his reputation is increasing. There is a monograph that's going to be published, which would give him the national exposure. And so it has been increasing over the past 20 years since his death.
Mm. Robert Davis, curator of the LDS Church History Museum, Donna Poulton, curator at the Utah Museum of Fine Art, and a joint exhibition of LeConte Stewart works runs now through next January. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News. Next time, the post-game show, we get analysis on today's elections. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.